If you're ignorant, it's amazing how the devil can get a foothold in your life about some of these. This is our third Sunday night. This will be our final night. But God says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll look at some things and then we'll try to apply this. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you should learn that the thing about spiritual gifts is, and we're going to look at it in Romans 12, but everybody in here has, when you got saved, you were given a gift by God. You say, well, I'm not gifted. Everybody in here has at least one of these gifts. Everybody has one gift. Some of you have two, some have three, and the pastor of a church is supposed to be working at all of them. I have some of the gifts, but I'm the one that's supposed to be working at all of them. Okay, you say, what are they? When you're in 1 Corinthians 12, look here, let's just look at the list that he gives us. Verse number 7. It says here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Then he's going to list these manifestations of the Spirit. This isn't spooky talk. He's getting ready to list what happens when you yield to the Holy Spirit as a child of God and you exercise your gift. Then there are three of these nine. Okay, there's nine things we're getting ready to list. There's only three of them that are valid for today. Okay, let's read them and I'll show you which ones. If you wanted to mark which ones apply to us, everything here does not apply to our time, and then I'm going to show you why. But watch this. Look at verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That one is valid for today. There's only three. Ready? Word of wisdom. Then let's keep on reading here. It says, to another, the word of knowledge. That is not. I'll show you why in just a second. It says, by the same Spirit, verse number 9. To another, faith. That's the second one that's valid for us. Word of wisdom, faith. Then watch this. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That is not valid for today. I'll show you why in just a second. There's some things that God, when the Bible was completed, God stopped. All right, that's one of them. Ready? Let's keep on going. It says here, verse number 10, to another, the working of miracles. That is not valid. To another, prophecy. That is not valid. To another, discerning of spirits. I don't mind. That's the third one when people say they can discern spirits. Okay, and there has to be some discerning with a Christian. Okay, you can, as far as telling when an attitude is right. So I don't mind if people want to take it. So that's the three. Word of wisdom, faith, and discerning of spirits is something that we can say is valid for us today. Look at the last two right there. It says, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, those have stopped. To another, the interpretation of tongues. How come out of the nine, there's only three that are valid? You're in 1 Corinthians 12, turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. And these are some verses that you should have marked in your New Testament, in your Bible. Look at verse number 8. Ready? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity, or love in action, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. God says prophesying, or the foretelling of the future. God says that will fail. In other words, when God completed the Bible, In 100 AD, with the Apostle John, the book of Revelation being the last book, God stopped prophesying. I have a lesson that I teach. God says in 1 Corinthians 14, in the next chapter, he says, I would rather that y'all prophesy. Well, he wasn't talking about giving the word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about this. He said, I do wish you walked so closely with God that you were comfortable, that's how I interpret it, with your future. In other words, sometimes, okay, I don't think it's, as long as somebody doesn't abuse the peace of God in seeing the future. For instance, sometimes I think as you walk close with the Lord, God shows you things that are coming in the future. Sometimes God says, I'm not going to show you anything, and you just need to trust me. Okay? So that doesn't happen all the time. But I think sometimes you can walk so closely with the Lord that you can have peace with what's coming. I don't think I'm a spooky person. I was told of someone that doesn't go to our church, and I thought it was very sad, but they said they have cancer, and they have prostate cancer, and the retina has detached, and it's already in the bones. And they said, would you pray that God heals this person? I have no problem. I'll pray that God heals this person. When I was told that report, it's about somebody that I've heard preach and that I think is a wonderful Christian. They're in their 60s. Normally when prostate cancer gets in the bones, it's too far. I know God can heal, and I do pray that God heals, but I don't have total peace that person's going to recover. I think the Lord's going to call them home, is what I think is going to happen. Okay? Is that because I'm negative or I... No, I just... That as far as I think you can walk close enough with the Lord and you can read His Word and pray, I believe God can give you peace about small things in the future. God doesn't show us massive things. I'm not a spooky person. But it does say in 1 Corinthians, I would rather that you all prophesy. I don't think that means I would that you all speak the Word of God that's to be printed. No, God's Word is done. There is no more Bible to be printed. God's done. The canon is sealed. However, you can walk with God so closely that you do have a peace with what God's doing in your life. Like I said, God doesn't show you everything. Sometimes God shows you things. Sometimes God says, trust me, I'm not going to show you anything. But here, God says, whether there be prophecies, He's talking about speaking the Word of God for it to be written down, they shall fail. What? When the Bible's completed, watch this. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. The ability to speak in tongues. The ability to speak a foreign language so that somebody else can get saved in a language that you've never studied. A supernatural gift of being able to speak in whatever language they need to give them the gospel. God doesn't do that anymore. It says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Missionaries that we send to the mission field go to language school. Is it because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit? No, I think they're very sacrificial people. They're willing to give up McDonald's and go to a foreign country, in some case, endanger their lives. No, it's not because they're not Spirit-filled people. It's because God doesn't do tongues anymore. That ceased with the Bible. All right? Then look at this. Keep on going. Look at verse, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So prophecies, tongues, and knowledge is going to fail, cease, and vanish away. When, verse number 9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe my interpretation of that verse is when that which is perfect, when God completed His Bible, His Word. God is not revealing His Word anymore. God is illuminating His Word and teaching us His Word, but God doesn't give any more Bible. The canon is sealed. All right? We have all that God wants us to have with our Bible. So God says, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge ceased. That is why. Those are very important verses. How come we don't speak in tongues here? Because I believe what is happening in churches that say they speak tongues, it's satanic. It's demonic. God does not lead someone to speak in tongues against His Word. That means they're giving themselves over to another spirit and they're doing religious activity demonically empowered. Now go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Go to 12 and look at verse number 3. That's why he says, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. People were doing demonic religious activity. They were saying the Holy Ghost is telling them that Jesus is accursed. I believe the similar thing happens today in Pentecostal churches when somebody says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, it's demonic, but they're saying it's of the Lord. And God says you need to be able to divide that. No, we're not going to speak in tongues. Tongues are a sign for the Jews that Jesus has come and that judgment has come. Tongues are a sign for the lost. It's all that stuff, and that's a different Bible study. Now, that's the manifestation of the Spirit. Let's look at real quickly at Romans chapter 12. You're in 1 Corinthians 12. Go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. God says one thing of the don't be ignorant, don't be untaught. One thing that you should be learned about is spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Well, real quick, the list is right here in Romans chapter 12. And look at verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. So prophesying is a gift, is one of the gifts that God gives. Prophesying is not like what we just read about, speaking the word of God for it to be written down. This prophesying is a gift where people, there are people in here, some of you, I know who has the gift of prophecy in here. Some of you feel, when you see wrong, you feel a very strong urge to speak against it. That's wrong! That's against the Bible! Normally, somebody that feels that strong to speak out against wrong, normally they have the gift of prophecy. That's the gift of prophecy. They feel freedom. They're quick to speak out against wrong. That's the gift of prophecy. There are a few of you men, you have that gift. Your tolerance for what is wrong is very small, and of which I don't think needs to change. I think God put that in you and God made that, God gave that to you, and that's not supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be controlled. You can hurt people with that, but that is a gift. The prophecy is a gift. Let's look at, these are all the listings here. I'm just going to go quickly through them. It says, having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Then look at verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. What is the gift of ministering? Ministering is those who are, there are some people in here, you have, God gave you the gift of ministering. What is that? Ministering means to serve. The word minister means a servant. And there are some, and watch this, I'm not the only servant in the church. There are some people in here, you're very sensitive to other people's needs. And they don't even have to say, I need this, or this needs to be done. You can see it. That's a gift God puts in you to help other people. Everybody in here doesn't have that, but some of you do. You can see when somebody has a clothing need, but you're just very, God has let you be very sensitive and you have the gift of serving or ministering or helping people. Do you understand? Some in here do. Let's look at the next one. It says, or he that teacheth on teaching. What does a teacher do? They study, and then they're able to distribute the truth and transmit the truth. I know I have the gift of teaching, but I'm not the only person in this church with a gift of teaching. There are some people, there's ladies in here and there's men in here. You have the gift of teaching. You know how to study and research a subject and then put it on paper, and you're going to work out the pedagogy. How is this going to be taught so that it can be transmitted? To some, the thought of teaching, watch this, everybody in here is supposed to work at being a teacher. It's the basis, you understand? And I don't have time tonight, but we could go to Hebrews chapter 5. Everybody in the church is supposed to be growing one day to teach others. You take what you've been taught and you pass it on. you have need that ye should be teachers, but instead somebody else teaches you. That's Hebrews 5. We won't look at that, but I will say this. Some of you in here are natural teachers. You have the gift of teaching. God gave that to you. To do what? To teach other people. You won't have... Everybody in here should be laboring to be a Sunday school teacher. But some will work at it harder than others because they have to develop that gift. They have to develop that gift. Let's look at a few more here. It says, verse number 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. These are the lists of the gifts. Exhorting is when you enjoy building people up and helping them reach their potential for the Lord. Some of you, it's very obvious you're an exhorter. You can tell that when we meet you, because you're all about how are you doing and boy, it's good to see you, and you're doing okay, and is there anything I can help you with? And it's not that they're always the pizzazz person in the church. But exhortation is normally the one who enjoys building up people. And boy, you doing okay? And did you struggle this week? And oh man, hey, I'll be praying for you. And that's they have the gift of exhortation. And there's a few of you in here, you have the gift of exhortation. You're about helping people, lifting them. Exhort means to build, okay? And find out where you're struggling. Others of us, that's not a gift I have, but it's a gift I'm supposed to be working on. I'm supposed to work at finding out how I can help. Let's look at the next one. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Giving is a gift. You know how I can tell who has a gift of giving? If they haven't been taught, if they haven't studied themselves, they're normally very stingy people. And then they need to be taught that God gave them everything. And then watch a giver. A giver in the church isn't just somebody who frivolously spends. They're always looking for investments. How can I invest my money to get a return for the Lord? Whether it's in that Sunday school class, or that bus route, or that missionary, or those tracks, or that. Do you understand? They have the gift of giving, and they're not just looking, somebody with a gift of giving doesn't want to be known. The last thing you do is tell them, you know, if they do buy the tracks on the thing, we don't tell everybody. They just say, I'm going to give this because I want to be a part of the souls that are saved with those gospel tracks. But preacher, I need you to keep this. Nobody knows that I gave the money for those gospel tracks. Nobody knows that I fixed the engine on that bus. Nobody knows that I helped with, you understand? People with the gift of giving, I'll say it again, are normally very tight, but they're tight so that they have money to give to the Lord. Do you understand? They're not just, oh yeah, here, take some. they don't do this as much as they're looking to give to the work of God. And they're very sensitive about it. They're very sensitive about it. They don't like it when money is misappropriated, of which I don't think anybody should, okay? But they're normally, sometimes you could say, maybe oversensitive about it, to the point where sometimes they overreact to it. I think if you think money's being misappropriated, I think some questions would help. An explosion normally does not help. Okay? What? Okay, you know, but somebody with a gift of giving. There are people in here I've watched as a pastor. I've watched them exercise their gift. And they don't give to everything. They watch, they pray, and they're saving, and they're like, I want to use my money very wisely. And they're just extremely sensitive in financial matters, okay? Which is good. Let's look at just a few more here. Him that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Watch this. He that ruleth with diligence. There are some of you, you have the gift of ruling. That's not somebody who is a control freak. That is somebody with a gift of ruling. I could, if I give a project to the wrong person, it can hurt them. Some people I could give a big project to that has one, two, three, four, five parts. And they'll say, okay, this is a huge project. It needs to be broken down into these five pieces. And then there's people that can do this piece and this piece. And for them to break down a job is no problem at all. People who can organize and plan things out have the gift of ruling. They can take a job, break it down, and help others serve. That's the gift of ruling. Some of you, if I gave you a big project, it'd blow your head. You'd be like, no! I can't. And the thought of taking a large task and breaking it down into small parts and then doing it a phase at a time literally would frustrate you and you'd pull your hair out. There are other people, it's like, ooh, oh, that's a challenge. That is exciting. Wow, what I love to do. I'd stay up at night and dream about that. You know what I mean? So they have the gift of ruling, and some people don't. Some people like, look, I really don't like planning out a project. Could you just tell me what to do? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Just tell me, point me in a direction. Can you just tell me what to paint, please? Don't tell me to pick the color, okay? They normally are not the ones with a gift of ruling, okay? They're not the administrators. So, watch this. I have some points here tonight. I want you to watch this. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy, this is the last one, with cheerfulness. So, mercy is the last gift. Mercy is those who are very sensitive to genuine love. They normally need deep friendships, okay? Men can be more touch and go, and I understand. We all enjoy friendship. Normally, ladies are a lot more sensitive that way. Not every lady has the gift of mercy, okay? But a lot of ladies do. They're normally very sensitive to that. That's why many times men can work with children, but ladies make good children's workers. And there are some men that really, they're like, man, give me a group of first graders. Glory to God. And I can take hell with a squirt gun. It'll be awesome. You know what I mean? You give them that. There are others. You give me some sixth graders and I'm going to kill somebody. You know what I mean? They normally don't have the gift of mercy. They're like, oh, I'd really rather work better with adults, you know, or whatever. All I'm trying to let you know is this. If somebody with a gift of mercy is very sensitive to relationships, and they help people in expressing love. Some of you have that. That's very important. You say, why? Look at Romans chapter 12 and look at, we've just looked at the list of gifts. All right? Now, you know what I'd like you to do? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know this is all foundational tonight, and I wish you could go back and look at this. Look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Let me do a quick review here before we read. We've read about the manifestation of the Spirit. What's the manifestation of the Spirit? It's three things that are valid. The word of wisdom, when you exercise your gift of ruling or exhorting or of ministering or of giving, when you exercise your gifts, then the Holy Spirit manifests these three gifts that we said are valid today: wisdom, faith, and then discerning of spirits. When you exercise your gift. Now that you understand the difference between the two, look at verse 11. Ready? But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Do you know what gift you have? Number one, I think you need to study yourself in those lines. We did a whole Bible study each Wednesday night on the gifts. We did that last year, at the start of last year, not this year. We went through each gift. If you've not heard that, you need to. And then you need to figure out your gift. Because everybody in here has at least one. And do you know the gifts you have? What God wants you to have. Then do you know what God does with you? When God gives you the gift, look at verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, we're talking about this body, Gospel Light Baptist Church, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And then watch, look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Watch this, I love that verse. As it hath pleased Him. The body is the local church. Yes, you got saved like we talked about last week, and you were placed in Christ. Practically, we go to church. Positionally, you're in Christ in heaven. I love this thought. Verse number 18 says, God put you in the body as it pleased Him. You're a member of Gospel Light Baptist Church, and I love this because God put you here. God put you here in the church to exercise your gift and to help other church members. You understand? That's what makes the body fitly joined together. God says, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You were put here for a purpose. Nobody. And this now I'm going to make a hard statement, but let me preach for a second. Nobody is put in a church to do nothing. I'm going to make a stronger statement. Nobody, God doesn't put anybody in a church to come once a week. God doesn't put anybody in a church to come twice or three times a week and that's it. God puts people in a body, in a church, so that you can exercise what God's given you and be a help to the body, other people. I love this statement. If I take 1 Corinthians 12, remember how I told you to read it? Don't read it as it applies to all Christendom. Read it as it applies to our church. Now think with me this. You were given gifts by God, everybody in here. Then you were put here. That means this. Somebody in the church needs you. Unless you just show up, that's it, we leave, that's it, and we don't talk to nobody. You know, you come in, you know, 5 minutes after the service it starts and 5 minutes before the service leaves, and that way you don't have to talk to anybody and I don't have to interact with anybody and I don't have to. Wait a second. God puts you in the body as it pleases Him. I love this. This thought helps me as a Christian. That means I'm supposed to, well, you're the pastor, but wait a second, as a church member, I'm supposed to be helping somebody in the church. I was put here to help the body. You say, well, you're the pastor. Wait a second, you're a Christian. You were put here to help someone. I went from, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Don't be untaught about it. It's not for Pentecostals. They abuse it. We're a Baptist church. We take the Bible literally. That's what makes us Baptists. But now how do you apply it? Well, okay, Christian, then you've been given gifts by God. Number one, do you know your gifts? Do you know the gifts well enough to say, you know what? I'm good at that. I think God's given me that gift. And now I need to exercise it here. There are some of you, you are ignorant. You're not stupid. You're ignorant in your gift. God has blessed you and helped you and given you things when He saved you that now you need to exercise. And you don't think that way. You just think church attendance. And I'm trying to help you expand that right now. I'm trying to help you think outside that. You were put in the church to help somebody else. Well, no, I came here for help. You were put here to help at least one. Some of you were put here to help in this church. You were put in the church to help at least one. Some of you two, three, four, five. Some of you six or seven people. I wish I could help you think as a Christian tonight in the local body. Now that we've looked at gifts, let me give you a few more thoughts. Ready? Here we go. You personally are special to God and He wants to use you in the lives of others. That's why He gave you the gifts. If you don't even know what gift you have, if that was new language that we were just looking at, I have no problem with that. Everybody's got to learn it sometime. But then go back over the Bible studies and listen to them. There's Bible characters that are likened it. I love learning about exhorting and helping others grow. When I look at how reclusive I am, I'm like, I need to work at that. I need to work at being a blessing to others and helping others grow. I don't need to pull into my shell and not be a study freak and, well, I got to study my Bible. I need to be involved in the life. Well, you say you're the pastor. I know that. There's other people in here. Do you know your gift? You're special to God. And God gave you at least one. And if you're totally unlearned about it, you need to study the gifts. And you need to figure out you. There's two things you study when you get saved. Your Bible and you. You ought to know your weaknesses. If you don't know your own weaknesses, how do you set up protection against? How do you, look, you know where the devil's going to hit you next? He's going to come at you. And you've got about three weaknesses. There's three angles. You need to know you. You need to know what you can get around and what you can't get around. If I get around that, that's going to pull me down. If I can't do that, others can, I can't. Because that is a weakness of mine. And that the devil's going to hit me with that, and I know better. I'll say it again. You need to learn your Bible, and you need to learn you. What's one of the best things you can learn about you? What gift did God give you when He saved you? Some of you He gave two. Some of you He gave three. That leads me on to my next point. Listen closely. Others are important even when you don't like them. Everyone is here because God put them here. Did you know a person with a gift of mercy who's sensitive to love and friendship normally doesn't like an exhorter? Because sometimes an exhorter is loud and they're just too happy. How can anybody be that happy and mean it? Man, they're aggravating. Because, man, they're just, I mean, you know, when they're around, they're just, how are you doing, Aaron? Boy, good to see you. And boy, are you for real? Did you OD on Prozac? Did you, you know, did you take too many antidepressants? And normally, sometimes, but watch this, an exhorter can aggravate somebody with a gift of mercy. Somebody who's ruling, who's a ruler, that means they can take and administrate and organize and break a task down and, ooh, this can be done here and this. And that's for men and women. Did you know sometimes they're aggravating to people with a gift of ministering and serving? Somebody with a gift of ministering and serving normally will handle one problem at a time. Here, because they can see problems. And they'll just handle that one problem. And if somebody with a gift of ruling, it's like, oh, man, they're always trying to control things. What a control freak. And they'll make fun of them. And they get on their nerves because of the gift God gave them. I wish you would leave here thinking at least this thought tonight. There's people in here who aggravate other people. And they're important to God like you are. They're just not like you. Aren't you glad everybody's not like you? Have you ever thought of that? I'm so glad everybody's not like me. But sometimes people will say, well, I'm upset with them because they need to think like I do. And they're not going to. And watch this. Some of them will never do so. God didn't make them like He made you. Learning to get along, I think, if you're not ignorant about spiritual gifts, it helps you get along with other people that may be abrasive to you in the church because they're different. Somebody with a gift of giving can be very aggravating to somebody with a gift of mercy also. Somebody with a gift of mercy, they're going to see a need. Oh, this person needs this. And, well, you just do what you can and you sell what you can and you give it. And that person, they're so tight. What a tight wad. They squeak when they walk. How come they're so tight? And they're aggravating to them. And instead of looking at them as different and how is God going to use them for the church, they go, they're not like me and I can't stand them. And then the frustration begins, and then the anger, and then, you know, wherever they're sitting in the church, we're going to sit on the opposite. And that does not mean everybody over here hates everybody over here. Okay, that is not saying that tonight. But I have been in a church. I sat in a church, and there was five sections. And I'm not kidding you. I watched one family walk in. They were at war with another family. And they would always look wherever that family was sitting, and then they would literally go to the opposite side of the church. How do you get anything out of the preaching when you're like that? You're like, you're looking at the pastor, and then you're looking at them. And you're looking at the pastor, and you're looking at them. You know, and it's thinking, boy, I'm glad we're over here and they're over there. Careful. I don't think there's anybody like that in our church, but I am telling you this. If you don't monitor you, you can get that way. If you don't see everybody as important to God, then you start picking. Aren't you glad God did command us to love each other, but God didn't command us to be best friends with everybody? Aren't you glad? You don't have to go out to eat and have 5 hours of free time with every person in the church. Or I realize some of you would kill each other, okay? You don't have to do that. However, I wish you would see everybody as important to God. Let me make my last application, and watch this. You ready? No one is ever saved, and I've already said this, and put in church to do nothing. You were put in the church to find what gift you have, yield to the Holy Spirit, and then let God use you. You were put here for that. I'm not for any person running themselves into the dirt. I'm a firm believer in determining the will of God for what we do here with workers that are available. Let's wrap this up with Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Don't be ignorant or untaught or unlearned in the area of spiritual gifts. Every Christian is important to God and has gifts, and they were put in the body to be used. And if you get away from that, you'll start sectioning. Then you start picking, you know, well, I like so-and-so, but I don't like so-and-so. And then cliques start developing and stuff like that. I'm so thankful we don't have a problem with that, but we don't need a problem with that. So this is how you help keep, I think, Christians healthy in a way of thinking. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 36. Ready? But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If I had you think about your Bible for a second, where in the Bible does Jesus tell you to pray for anything? Did you know this is the one place in the Bible that Jesus says, I have a prayer request. This is my prayer request, that God would send laborers. You serve through the church. That God would put laborers in the church so that we can reach the harvest. You know how come there's things that I can't do it all here. I'm not going. I could. I've watched pastors not know how to, I think, control it and help, and then they get doing everything, and then I've watched some pastors, their health goes downhill, and they get the mono and the Epstein-Barr and all that, and I've watched that happen. And the church goes downhill with it. I know my health cannot go downhill, okay? This is not me whining to you. This is me saying, I better monitor what I do here. Could I drive a bus? Yes, I could. Me and the boys, we painted the buses, and many people here in here were involved in that. That was great. It's wonderful. I know how to paint the buses. I know how to run the buses. I can't run the bus. Well, I know other pastors of other churches, they get on that bus and they'll run it. I can't do that. I know me. I've been driving a bus for almost 30 years now. I know how to drive a bus. I've had my share of wrecks that you'll never know about. I've backed over trees that you'll never see. My wife's really laughing because she saw it happen. Stupid parking brake. Okay, at any rate, all I'm saying is as a young bus driver, I've already had my bus run-ins, and I've already set mine on fire, and I already know how that works. All I'm telling you is I know how to drive a bus. Well, how come you're not driving a bus? Because I can't teach Sunday school and preach and be in here and monitor things and help, and I can't do it all. Someday, we'll have a bus driver. Someday. It'll be someone that God puts here. Can I just stop here before I go any further? Do you pray what Jesus told you to pray in Matthew 9? When was the last time you prayed? This is Jesus' prayer request. Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. Lord, send laborers. I'm for anybody that wants. We have plenty of people that come to our church one time a week. One time, that's it. They're welcome to come. Okay? I don't hate them. Okay? I like them. I'm glad they're here. I would rather they be here than in jail. Amen? Okay? But they have to, they're going to, my hope is this, when we have people who come here once a week, I want them to grow in their faith so they can become spiritually strong enough to be here and then do what? One day be used. I can't make somebody a Sunday school teacher that's not faithful to church. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? If they only come Sunday morning and then the kid comes back Sunday night and they're walking around church going, where's my Sunday school teacher? Well, they had a game to watch. They had other things to do. You pray for your Sunday school teacher. You can't do that. I can only pick people to be Sunday school teachers that are faithful to church, that are tithing and soul winning. I can only do that. I can only look at who. That's why, watch this. I don't judge in the church who's better than others on Saturday morning or Tuesday night on going soul winning. But it's the only place I can pick workers. I don't go, three people out on Tuesday night. Rest of the church is backslidden. I don't do that. I don't think that way. I just think this. Lord, three were out Tuesday night. Six were out Saturday. I only have nine people I can pick workers from in the church. You say, why? Because when you join leadership in a church, when you start influencing others, Sunday school teacher, when you bus worker, all of that, you can only take people as high as you are spiritually. Others can get people closer to the Lord, but you can't get anybody closer to the Lord than you are. You'll reproduce after your kind. That's God's method. That starts in Genesis 1, right? You'll reproduce after your kind. Well, just grab a body. I've been in churches where, well, you need a Sunday school teacher. Just grab a body. Just grab a body. Then everybody in that Sunday school class becomes like that Sunday school teacher. Spiritually. They're hit and miss with church. They don't tithe. They don't go soul winning. They're not ready to be a Sunday school teacher yet. They need more time. They need more prayer. They need more growth. You say, why are you hitting this? Jesus' prayer request is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Did you know this? Here's how I think. Here's how Pastor Nash thinks. The bus ministry is not a requirement for us being a scriptural New Testament church. We don't have to have a bus ministry. Did you know the bus ministry is only 60 years old? The bus ministry is awesome. It's wonderful. I think more people are saved through the bus ministry than any other ministry in the church. But the bus ministry and picking people up for church, it's only 60 years old. They haven't always done that. Okay? If you want to go back further with a non-denominational crowd, you can do that. Moody was running chariots. You know, chariots, that's stupid. Wagons and horse-driven wagons in Chicago. He was picking up boys and girls. Okay, that would be in the late 1800s. I choose to go back as far as the bus ministry as we know it. Taking a vehicle with an engine and picking up kids, that's about 60 years old. We don't have to do that here to be a church. It's wonderful if we can, but do you know when we'll do it? When God gives us the workers. Amen? Somebody's heart is going to get touched and they're going to go, you mean God could use me to be a driver to bring 30 kids to church every Sunday? 30 times 50? That's 1,500. You mean I could bring 1,500 people to church a year? And they're doing the math in their head. They're going, man, I could. Nobody. What? I'll be a driver. I'll visit her. You mean I could be, you mean God could use me like that? I don't see hundreds of people doing it. Lord, I'll do it. And they'll give themselves to do that. And they become a laborer. That's when God touches someone's heart. To do what? Serve and give of themselves. That's when we'll decide. That's the bus ministry. Did you know we don't have to have a junior church here to be a scriptural New Testament church? I think it brings some peace to our services. Okay? But we don't have to have a junior church back there. Caleb's getting ready to leave. Samuel's getting ready to leave. Josiah's getting ready to leave. Somebody will say, somebody's heart's going to be touched, and I think we've got things lined up, I think, but it takes laborers, people. I can't preach here and there at the same time. I love working with children. I'll preach at children's church in a heartbeat. You know why? Because I was taught this. When you touch the life of a child, you've touched eternity. Somebody taught me that. And I said, every time, that's why somebody said, well, you do better preaching at adults. I'll preach any children's camp. Any children's camp. Anytime I was as an evangelist, when I'd go through, I'd say, brother, you can't preach for us this morning. Oh, can you preach junior church? You bet. Give the kids to me. I'll have a ball. Now, I preach hard in junior church. And I mean, I'm not talking hard at them. I mean, I give them Bible, and man, I've had wonderful times in junior church. Guess what? Our junior church preachers, they're leaving. We need more laborers. I can't do it all. Someone here is supposed to do that. Someone here is supposed to do that. God brings people to our church to do something. We're all supposed to be doing the work of the Lord. And attending church is not serving. This is where you get. Amen? And watch this. If you're here tonight, let me just straighten it out. If you're here tonight, you're obeying the command of God to be in church. You're commanded by God to be in church. Amen? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You're commanded by God to be in church. Praise the Lord. But this isn't you giving. You don't give in church. You get. Everybody in here needs something you serve. A way of giving of yourself to someone, to something, and you look to serve through the church. God put you here for a reason. Tonight's lesson is, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts.